You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know if you've ever walked into a new space and you find yourself looking for the best spot. In a movie theater, you walk into that space and you want to pick the best spot, which is about halfway up the rows and in the middle. That middle section is where you want to be in the movie. You don't want to be all the way in the back. You don't want to be all the way in the front. You want to be in the middle. At a concert, like when you're at a Motley Crue concert, Pat, you want to be up front. You want to see the pores. You want their sweat on your face. You want to be so close to the action that you can see the guitar solos in all their glory. You want to be up front. At church, yeah, the wave in the back. Thank you, Michael and Tracy. The best spot in church is the back, except for Liz and Lou. Well done. Gold star for you guys. All alone in the front section here. I don't know if you've noticed. The splash zone here is, for many people, not where they want to be in church. I don't know why that is. Too close to the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure. You can't nod off. All those things. We want to be in the best place, the highest place, the perfect place. In the 10th chapter of Mark's gospel, the disciples James and John, of the 12, these two brothers, come to Jesus and they ask for the best spot in Jesus' coming administration. They want a promotion. You know, they know that Jesus is this up-and-coming star on the scene. And this request doesn't really make sense unless you realize that Jesus was, in the eyes of many, trying to become a political ruler. We don't think of Jesus that way. We think of him as a spiritual leader, and he is. But in those days, yes, the spiritual was a part of it, but really they wanted a king to get rid of the oppressive Roman Empire and be seated on the throne of Jesus' ancestor David. And they thought that all the miracles and all the miraculous feeding and all the walking on water and all the healing was just so that he could gain the support to recruit a militia, kick out the Romans, and sit on the throne of David. That's the whole point. That's what they thought he was there to do. And so they want a promotion. They say, when you are inaugurated, I would like to not just be on the transition team, but I would like to be in the cabinet. And not just Secretary of Commerce. Yes, exactly. Who knows the Secretary of Commerce? Anyone know who that is? Yeah. Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, now you're talking. That's what we, James and John, your faithful servants, we want to be. The theme song for this sermon and this passage comes from the 90s supergroup Darn Yankees. That's not their real name, but I'm in the pulpit. The Darn Yankees. The Darn Yankees featured members of Styx and McLennan County resident Ted Nugent on the electric guitar. Always chewing gum, that guy. Not a good look, but that's just, no, watch out, don't tell him. Okay, anyways, moving on. That song, the reason I mentioned them is because this was a number 3 single in the United States. Can You Take Me High Enough? They want to get to that highest position. And this is what James and John want. We want to get to the high. We don't want to be a lowly disciple. We want to be just at the top. They're right and the left. You know, your right and left hands. And a lot of us, I think, maybe can relate to that. When we come to Jesus with a request, you know, he tells the disciples, James and John, you know, they say, we have something to ask. And he's like, what do you want? And if you were to go to Jesus and say, I've got something, he said to you, what do you want? You might say something like, I want my best life now. I would like to achieve, yes, spiritual success, but I would also like to have a nice 401k. I'd like to have people like me. I'd like to be an influential person. I'd like to be important. I'd like to just not be anxious all the time because of my financial, personal, whatever struggles. I would like my best life now, Jesus, please. I'd like to be high up. I don't want to be at the bottom. I want a good spot. And Jesus' response is, I think, as they often are, surprising. Not what we would expect. So it's getting kind of hectic in Jesus' ministry in Mark 10. this section that we find ourselves in today. He's gone from some healings and some nice spiritual teachings to now he's beginning to get in some hot water with the officials, the authorities. And he's been talking about the fact that he is going to be arrested and he's going to die. And the disciples think that he's saying, again, I'm going to be making people upset in the political establishment. They're going to come after me. But they still think that even after that, he will somehow achieve some kind of military and political victory. And so they ask him, as I said, we'd like to be your right and left hand. And he says, you don't know what you're asking. And he says, can you drink this cup that I'm going to drink? Speaking metaphorically. Jesus is not holding a red Solo cup. He's talking about some future metaphorical cup. How do you know what that is? He says also, can you be baptized with the baptism with which I'm going to be baptized? And they think, again, that he is going to drink a cup of glory, that he will be baptized with fame and power. And he says, however, you're wrong. I'm going to be drinking a cup of wrath. I'm going to be baptized in death. Do you want those things? And again, they probably think that he's saying, I'll go through some hard times, but I'll come out victorious on the other side because God's got me. And so they say, yeah, we can do that. We'll stick with you. And then again, when you come out on the other side, we will be your right and left hand men. And then Jesus says in verse 40, this is the surprising thing. He says, to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to appoint, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. I can't give you those spots. It's not mine to give because they're already spoken for. They're already appointed for other people. Well, begs the question. For whom? We know that instead of going to a throne, Jesus is going to a cross. And instead of going to get a crown of gold, he's going to get a crown of thorns. Instead of a cup of glory, he's going to drink a cup of bitter wine. We know that he is going to die. That's where he's going. Who will be at his right and at his left? In five chapters on, in Mark 15, Mark, same writer, tells us when Jesus is crucified, and with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus was saving room. He was reserving spots for those who most needed his grace. Even at his last moment, he wanted to make sure that there'd be room for those who seek mercy. We read in Luke's account of Jesus' crucifixion that one of the criminals who hanged there kept chiding and deriding, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? If you are, save us and yourself." The other said to his companion, "Don't you fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we have been condemned justly. We're getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he turned to Jesus and said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We tend to think life and our spiritual life as well is some sort of climb to glory and power and success. Just climbing the ladder of spiritual maturity and discipleship. That God is something we can succeed at, like the rest of our lives. So we collect achievements and merit badges, and we want Jesus to make us great, that we could be at his right and his left when we have earned that high spot. But Jesus instead says that he and his path is one of challenge and suffering and difficulty. And if we want to be next to Jesus, the spaces there are not for the achievers, but for the down and outers. those who are alone, those who are afraid, those who are anxious. These criminals that were crucified next to Jesus were not lovable rogues, you know, scamps. You know, we have all kinds of views sometimes of folks like that. That's not what this is. These are the folks that when you see walking along the side of the street, you speed up. Those are the folks that you want to avoid. These are the down and outs, and Jesus makes sure that there is room for them because Jesus wants to be there at the bottom when you get there. And when you get there, he wants to make sure that there's space for you. Kris Kristofferson recently died, singer, songwriter, incredible musician. I saw him perform at the Hippodrome a few years ago here. It's unbelievable. Rhodes Scholar, military veteran, helicopter pilot, an incredible songwriter and actor. And a few years back, many years back, he did a concert, and he was about to play a song that he wrote called Why Me, Lord? And he was asked from the stage to tell the story of that song. And he said, well, I'd done this benefit concert in Texas, and the next day one of the people invited me to join her at church. So I went. I'm not a big churchgoer. Kris Kristofferson, kind of a rogue. But he went, and he was sitting there, just sort of going along, and at one point, the preacher, now this is kind of a, you know, this wasn't St. Albans, just so you know. This was a kind of a deep-fried church situation. And at one point, the preacher, with every head bowed and every eye closed, asked, if there's anybody here who feels lost, put up a hand. And Chris thought, well, I don't know who to do that. I would never do that. And then he felt his hand going up. And then the preacher said, well, anybody who wants to come forward, get up and come forward. And again, he thought, who would ever do that? And then he found himself in the aisle walking towards the front. When he got there, he kneeled in front of the preacher with some of the other people there, and the preacher said, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And he said, I don't know. And the preacher prayed for him, and Kristofferson said, I don't even remember what he said. But I wept. I broke. And I felt a forgiveness and a mercy that I didn't even know that I needed. And I went home and wrote the song, Why Me, Lord? Which is a song about how could someone like me receive this grace of God. Just like that preacher made room for someone who was in church for the first time, who didn't know what they wanted from God, who didn't even know he was lost. The preacher made room for Kris Kristofferson. And the preacher of all preachers, the one who proclaims the grace and truth of God's mercy, Jesus Christ, always wants to make sure there is room. Yes, there is room for the successful and the achievers, and if that's you, thanks be to God. But if you're not that, or when you're not that, when you're at the bottom, Jesus always makes room so that he can say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for always making room for us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.